Turn with me to Luke chapter 9 this morning. Luke chapter 9. These 5 weeks in December have really got me going. I am so excited about the five Sundays that we are going to have in December this year. And we are going to begin our Remember December campaign. And we're going to be talking about the story of Jesus. Every single week, we're going to be giving the story of Jesus from somebody else's perspective. The story of Jesus from Mary's perspective, the story of Jesus from Joseph's perspective, the story of Jesus from the wise men and the innkeeper's perspective, the story of Jesus from God's perspective. It is going to be an incredible month. And I'm calling it Remember December because you always remember the big events in your life. You know, we're coming up on Christmas, and I have a brother that's 10 years younger than me, and when he was younger, he wanted a dirt bike. And so my family thought it was a great idea to get my younger brother a dirt bike. I never really understood that thinking process, but they got him a dirt bike. And then they thought it would be a really good idea to surprise him on Christmas, not with having it under the tree or sitting in the garage. They thought it would be a great idea to have me come zooming down the street on this dirt bike. Now, if you've been around here for any time at all, you know I'm not much of the outdoors type. I'm not much of getting on, you know, bicycles, much less motorbikes, you know, potential danger there. And so I'm not much for that. But they convinced me on this freezing cold Christmas morning to get on this motorbike. And so I'm down there. I'm watching for them coming out around the corner. And I see them start poking their heads out. And so, man, I start cranking that thing up. And man, then I get inspired, okay? I'm like, I'm not just going to come creeping by, you know, on this motorbike. I'm like, rrr, 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 rrr. I'm just letting this thing go. And I just come flying past the house, zoom. And I thought, you know what? I've never been on a motorbike. I've definitely never been on a motorbike going this fast. I don't know what I'm going to do now. So luckily that didn't end in too big of danger. But you know, my brother still talks about that every Christmas because it was a big event, man. It was something that he wanted. He will never forget as long as he lives the Christmas that he got that motorbike as I came zooming past him. And he's like, that's Philip. And that's my bike. You know, that was like, it was a big moment for him. But we never forget big moments in our lives. The moment that you received Jesus, you never forget those moments when your eyes were open to see something that you had never seen before. But you know what else is a big event? Whenever you have the opportunity to connect somebody to God, that's a big event. If you have never led anybody to Jesus, that's a big event that you will never ever forget. And that's what December is going to be all about. There is no other time of the year, Christmas and Easter, people's hearts are open to Jesus and to God like no other time of the year. And so we are not going to forget December. Sometimes we get to the end of the year and we just kind of coast on through and we're like, 2014's right around the corner. No. We're going to make this a December to remember because we are going out on an all-out attack on this city, on these neighborhoods, because we are going to be inviting people to church. As you came in and you sat down, you saw these invite cards, and they are bright and they are flashy for a reason, because we want you to take these out in your community. We want you to hand these to people wherever you go and say, hey, I would really like you to come to church with me this Sunday. And every Sunday there's going to be one in your chair, because I believe that everybody that comes here can invite one person to church over the next 6 days. You can find one person to hand this card to, and you say, man, I might two or three or maybe four. We have extra cards out there for you real aggressive people, okay? We've got them out there. And so you can take as many of these as you want. But you know what this is? This is an invitation. This is not a bookmark. Don't just slide it right there in your Bible and leave it there. This is an invitation. This is somebody's invite to meet Jesus. And I can promise you, if you invite somebody to come to church and they make a commitment to Jesus, this will be a December that you never forget. It will be a December that you remember forever. Let's open the Bible this morning and look at Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 1. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples. He gave them power and authority to cast out all demons, to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave that town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. Verse 6 says, so they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. This morning, I want to speak to you just for a few moments on the subject. Remember this December. Remember this December. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that your presence would continue to be with us. I pray that you would open up our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive everything that you have for us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. You know, the Gospels are full of Jesus' instructions to his followers. Love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love and pray for your enemies. Forgive those who have wronged you. Preach the good news. Heal the sick. Make disciples. And Jesus' constant challenge to his followers always went a little something like this. Make a difference everywhere you go. Be people of impact on the streets and in your neighborhoods. Put your gifts and talents to work for the one who gave those gifts and talents to you. And in Luke chapter 9, when we just read, Jesus called the 12 together and he sent them out. And you say, wow, those were the 12 disciples. Those became the 12 apostles. These weren't just the ordinary people. These weren't just the people of the congregation. These were the future pastors and prophets and leaders of the church world. But just the next chapter, Luke chapter 10, the Bible says that then Jesus decided he would send out another 72. So the 12 weren't even included in this. And in verse 1, it says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his harvest field. And as we continue to read in Luke chapter 10, we see that they went. We see that they did what Jesus asked them to do. And they come back so excited. Verse 17 in chapter 10 says they came back with their hearts full of joy. And they said, Jesus, you're not going to believe what happened when we went out there. When we used your name, even the demons submitted themselves to us. Jesus told them to go. They went and stuff happened. They made an impact. What will it take for you to remember this December? What do you need in order to impact someone's life for all of eternity? I believe you need three mind-transforming truths this morning. Three mind-transforming truths. And the first is this. God is bigger than you think he is. God is bigger than you think he is. No matter how big God is in your mind, no matter how big God has been in your past, no matter how big God is in your imagination, he is still bigger. And as humans, we constantly fight this urge to bring God down to our level. We desire to make him logical or to make him understandable, to make him capable of doing things that only man is capable of understanding. But God isn't limited by anything, and he sure isn't running this whole universe based on our understanding. But sometimes we feel like our opinions should be God's opinions. Sometimes we feel like our ways should be God's ways. Sometimes we feel like our plan should be his plan. And if God just knew what was best for me, then this would happen. One time, Job was trying to help God out a little bit, and he was slightly questioning God's credentials to be God. And then God responded to Job in Job chapter 38. Verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. This is just too good to pass up this morning. It says, and now, finally, God answered Job from the eye of a violent storm, and he said this, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Pull yourself together, Job, up on your feet, stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? How was its foundation poured? And who set the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in chorus and all of the angels shouted praise? And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen, so it couldn't run loose. And I said, stay here. This is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. And have you ever ordered morning, get up, told dawn, get to work, so you could seize earth like a blanket and shake out the wicked like cockroaches? As the sun brings everything to light, brings out all the colors and shapes, the cover of darkness is snatched from the wicked. They're caught in the very act. Have you ever gotten to the true bottom of things? Explored the labyrinthian caves of deep ocean? Do you know the first thing about death? Do you have one clue regarding death's dark mysteries? And do you have any idea how large this earth is? Speak up if you have even the beginning of an answer. How many of you say, thank God I'm not Job? What was God saying to Job in this moment? God was saying, Job, I am bigger than you ever thought I could be. And throughout Scripture, we see God saying this same thing to his men and women. I am bigger. As Abraham was holding his promised son, what was God saying? I am bigger. Joseph sitting in the vice president's seat of Egypt, God was saying, I am bigger. Moses watching the Red Sea part and Joshua watching the walls of Jericho fall, what was God saying? He was saying, I am bigger than you ever thought I could be. David as the shepherd boy watching the prophet anoint him as the next king of Israel. Gideon leading an army of 300 to victory over the Midianites. Daniel surviving a night with the lions, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego surviving the fiery furnace. Elijah calling down fire from heaven and destroying the prophets of Baal. All the while God was saying, I am bigger than you ever dreamed I could be. I am bigger than your past tells you I am. I am bigger than your friends and family ever told you that I was. I am bigger than your wildest imaginations, because I alone am God. And one day Jesus showed up a little late in this town called Bethany. It was the hometown of his friend named Lazarus. And his friend Lazarus had died, and Lazarus' sisters were grieving, and they met Jesus at the beginning of the city, at the front of the city, and they fell down, and they began to weep, and they were mourning their brother, saying, Jesus, if you had only been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you would have just been here while Lazarus was sick, everything would be okay. And then Jesus said, no, what you don't understand is I am the resurrection and the life. And they said, oh, well, no, we know that, because we know the scriptures, and we know that at the end, and he's going to rise again. And we've got all of that. And she was missing the point, because what Jesus was telling her in that moment is, I am bigger than you think I am, not for the future, but I'm bigger than you think I am right now, because I am the resurrection and I am the life. And I know he might be in the grave today, but I can promise you in just a few short hours, you're going to see your brother again, standing and walking and talking. Why? Because I am bigger than you ever thought I could be. And whenever you lay hold of this mind-blowing truth, whenever you begin to transform your mind to understand that God is really bigger than you think he is, God can do more than you ever thought he could do, let me tell you, that is the beginning of the process when you say all things become possible in that moment. Why? Because God is bigger than I ever thought he could be. Jesus shows up and he walks on the earth as Emmanuel, as God with us, and he demolished people's preconceived ideas about God, all the while declaring he's bigger than you think. Jesus broke all the traditional rules. He touched the lepers. He talked with Samaritans. He ate frequently at sinners' houses. He instantly forgave adulterers who were caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus was proving some points, that God's grace reaches further than you think it will, that God's mercy endures longer than you believe it will, that God's love goes deeper than you can ever imagine. He is bigger than your failures. Hear me this morning. He is bigger than your failures. He is bigger than your past mistakes. He is bigger than your past experiences. He is bigger than your understanding. God is bigger this morning than you can ever imagine him to be. God is bigger, and we need to lay hold this morning of that mind-transforming truth. The second one is this. People are more desperate than you think they are. People are more desperate than you think they are. Everyone today is looking for answers. Everyone today is looking for peace. Everyone today is looking for purpose. And people turn to alcohol and people turn to drugs in order to escape their current situations. People turn to New Age meditations and other religions in order to make sense of this thing that we call life. And people are searching for truth, and people are searching for hope. And it's exactly what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, when he said, "The harvest is plentiful." Why is the harvest plentiful? Because people are searching, and because people are desperate. Let me tell you this morning, people are ready to experience the genuine love of an authentic God. People are waiting to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. People are eager in their hearts to say yes to Almighty God. People are sitting in the field like ripe fruit. They are waiting to be picked off the tree of confusion. They're waiting to be picked off the tree of despair and placed into the basket of the kingdom of Almighty God. Mark chapter 5 gives us a perfect picture of people's desperation. There was a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had been bleeding, and she had gone to all the doctors, and she had gotten no answers, no suggestions, much less any cures. And she finds out one day that Jesus is walking through the town, and somehow, some way, she fights her way through the crowd with just the hope that if she just touched the hem of his garment, she didn't have to get his attention. She didn't have to ask him to lay hands on her. If she just touched the hem of his garment, she believed that there was the possibility, the chance, the hope that she might be made well. And you know the story. As she pushed her way through the crowd and she grabbed a hold of the bottom of Jesus' garment, and the power, the Bible says the power left Jesus and went into her body, and she was instantly healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And I said, "Jesus, what are you talking about? There's hundreds of people, dozens of people are pushing up against you. We're trying to get you through the crowd. What do you mean? Who touched you?" And he said, it's something different. Somebody desperate touched me. And let me tell you, whenever you come to the understanding that people are really desperate, all they have to get is just a touch. They don't have to get the perfect word. They don't have to get the perfect sermon. They don't have to get the perfect invitation. All they just need is the hope that if they could just reach out and touch something, let me tell you, once they touch Jesus, they will realize that there is a power flowing not out of you, not out of this church, but there's a power that is flowing out of heaven that will heal every sickness and disease, that will mend up every broken heart, that will wipe away all confusion and frustration, and that only comes from Jesus. But let me tell you, if we don't come to the understanding that people are desperate, then we're not eager to tell them. If we feel like people are just wanting to tell us no, we are not going to be eager to tell them. But whenever you get this mind-blowing truth in your mind that says, no, people are desperate. People in Walmart and Target, they're desperate. The people that I go to work with every day, they're desperate. Those distant relatives that come in town once a year for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, they're actually desperate. And we understand that there are people all over the world today suffering. There are people that are hungry in India and they're desperate. There are people that are experiencing natural disasters in Asia and today that they're desperate. And there's people in Africa and they're facing war and disease and they're desperate. And we can look all over the world and we can see the desperation of the world. But don't look past your neighbor, because your neighbor is desperate. Your coworker is desperate. Your relatives are desperate for Jesus. Open a door. Give God an opportunity to invade someone's life and to transform them for all of eternity. You know, you would be absolutely amazed that the people who would gladly appreciate a simple prayer, you would be amazed. If you ask somebody, how are you doing? They say, not good. And you say, what's your name? And they tell your name. And you say, you know, Beth, would you mind if I would pray for you? I can tell you 95, 98, 99% of the times that I've ever asked that question, they say, I would love that. They might not know God. They may have never met Jesus. They have never walked in the door of the church, but they are just like the woman. Maybe it'll work this time. Just maybe I can find what I'm looking for. Just maybe this person can do something for me that will take me to a place that I've never been in my life before. People are desperate. And so whenever you take this card this week, you don't need to anticipate a no. You need to anticipate a yes. When you invite somebody to come to church with you, you need to anticipate the yes. Why? Because people are more desperate than you think they are. And that's why Jesus told you that the field is ripe. The field is ripe because people are really desperate. Here's the third truth that you need this morning. The third truth is this. You can do more than you think you can do. You can do more than you think you can do. God is bigger than you think He is. People are more desperate than you think they are. And you can do more than you think you can do. In the mid-1800s, a Swiss businessman named Henri Dunant made a decision that has impacted the entire world from then until now. And he just decided to do something. He was on a business trip to Italy. He was a successful businessman, and he was on a business trip in Italy. And as he was on the train, as he was coming into the town, he noticed right outside of the town, there was a battlefield, and they had just had a big battle out there on this field. And as he looked out there, he saw just bodies laying all over the field. And as he got into the town, he asked somebody about what had happened. They said, oh, no, there was a territory fight. And he said, well, I've got to go to the battlefield. And they said, no, you really don't want to go out there. And Henry said, no, I must go to the battlefield. And so he had somebody take him out there to the battlefield. And as he began to walk around the field, he saw wounded people laying there dying. He saw people just begging him to kill them, to take him out of his misery. And he was totally appalled in that moment. And he said this, I must do something to change this. And he had an idea. He had an idea to form and create an organization that would care for the wounded, that would make sure POWs were being treated humanely. He had an idea to create an organization that would provide food and materials and coffee for both sides, whoever was fighting. And he presented this idea to his family and to his friends, and they simply laughed at him. He presented this idea to his business partners, and they told him that an idea like that would never, ever work. But Henri Dunant forged ahead anyway, and he created an organization that we know today as the International Red Cross, which is one of the strongest, most influential organizations in all of the world. Helen Keller said this, I am only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. I will not refuse to do something I can do. I promise you that Helen Keller did more for people than she ever thought she could. I promise you today that the International Red Cross has helped more people than Henry ever dreamed was possible. And I guarantee you this morning that Mother Teresa fed and clothed more than she ever imagined would happen. You see, it is true this morning. You can do more than you think you can do. The 12 disciples that Jesus sent out, they came back with joy and they came back with a good report. The 72 that Jesus sent out, they came back with joy and with a good report. You say, how? How did that happen? How did the 12 come back? How did the 72 come back? How did that happen? It happened because God is bigger than they thought he was. How did it happen? Because they discovered that people were actually more desperate than they thought they were. How did that happen? Because they could actually do more than they thought they could do. You see, this is a December to remember for North Point Community Church. This is going to be a December to remember because there is a high possibility that you are going to invite someone to church in December. Don't forget, people's hearts are open. It's Christmas time. People that don't go to church at any time of the year, they feel like, oh, well, maybe I should go at Christmas time. As there's just music playing on the streets and all kinds of things, people are thinking, man, maybe I should go to church during this Christmas season. Like no other time of the year, people's hearts are open. And you know what they're waiting? They're just simply waiting on an invitation. They're waiting on a personal invite to say, hey, would you come with me to church? I would love it. We are going to be talking about Jesus every Sunday. Hear me. Every Sunday. You don't need to, you know, sometimes we worry about, I don't know what pastor's going to be preaching on this week. You know, I don't want to bring them. And we're talking about, you know, the end times and the apocalypse and horned dragons and all kinds of stuff. I don't really know. But I'm going to tell you right now. I know because I've been there. Okay, that's the honest truth. All right. Every Sunday, we're talking about Jesus. Every Sunday, you can be confident every Sunday that you bring somebody, they are going to hear about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every Sunday, they're going to have an opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Every single Sunday, there will be a clear presentation of the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe this is going to be a December to remember. And you know what? We're going to help you out in the process. Because for every first-time guest, every first-timer that walks through our door, we're going to give them a free copy of Francis Chan's bestseller, Crazy Love. And I could promise you, if they come to this church and they don't find Jesus on Sunday morning and they take this book home and they just begin to read this book, it won't be long before they get to chapter 2. Okay, they're going to be calling you back and saying, hey, I need some answers because I'm reading about a God who is in love with me. I'm reading about a God who is capable of changing my life. I'm reading about a God whose mercy and grace endures forever. This is changing my mind and changing my life. And you know what? I can promise you, if you are a part this December of getting somebody to church, if you are a part this December of getting somebody connected with God and somebody meeting Jesus, this will be a December that you never, ever, ever forget. It will be a December to remember. And we are going on an all-out attack. We are going on an assault this December. Why? Because we want people to meet Jesus. We're going for 125 first-time visitors in the month of December. And I believe that God is going to open your heart. You say, well, Pastor, how is that going to happen? I believe because you're going to walk out here today and you're going to say, wow, God is really bigger than I think he is. Wow, people are more desperate than I really think they are. And wow, I can do more than I ever dreamed I could do. I promise you, when those 12 got together and Jesus prayed for them and sent them out, they were thinking, oh, well, let's see what happens, guys. I can promise you there's somebody in the 72 that was thinking, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how this is going to work. I've never really healed the sick person before. I've never really cast out a demon before. I've never really preached before. But what happened when they got out there and they came back so excited and so fired up as they realized that God is big enough to overcome every one of my insufficiencies. God is big enough to overcome all of my fear. God is big enough to overcome all of my insecurities. Wow, people were so desperate. I didn't have to beat down their door. I didn't have to threaten them to come. I didn't have to threaten them to get healed. I didn't have to do anything. People were just desperate to say, man, there really is a living hope. Man, there really is another way to live. Man, there really is forgiveness for this trash in my life. Man, there really is an answer. Yes, there really is. People are more desperate. You say, how are you going to get people into the house of God? Because you can do more than you ever thought you could do. Stop. Stop looking at your past. Stop looking at all your fear. Stop looking at all of those things. And you just start walking around going, no, I can do more than I ever dreamed I could do. I can do more than I ever thought possible. I can be a part this December of connecting somebody to God and changing their life and their family for all eternity. But it's going to take everyone doing our part. I can't do your part. You can't do my part. I'm asking you to do your part this December. 125, that's our goal. We're going to be keeping track. 125, that is our goal, and I believe we can do it. If everybody does their part, we will have 125 first-timers this December. We can't get to the end of this year and go, well, we're just going to cruise on through the holiday season and go ahead. No. That's what the enemy wants you to do, because the enemy knows that December is the time when people's hearts are open. So if he can put the church to sleep when everybody's hearts are open, if he can get the church looking to 2014 instead of looking at December 2013, then he knows the church will miss the greatest opportunity of the year. But we're not going to miss it this year at North Point. We're going to see 125 people come, and I can promise you this, the presentation of the gospel is going to be so clear. The presentation of Jesus is going to be so clear. It's going to be a month that this church will never, ever forget. It's not just going to be a December for you to remember. It's going to be a December for North Point Community Church to remember, because we are going to see God do so many amazing things this month. We are going after it. We are going after it because God is bigger than we think he is, because people are more desperate than we think they are, and because we as a body can do more than we ever dreamed possible in Bossier City. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Come on, why don't you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray, and then I'm going to have Pastor Craig come up and speak the blessing. But don't forget, this just starts next week. Take your cards out and tell them, man, we got a free book. This is a New York Times bestseller. It's a New York Times bestseller. Just tell them we got a New York Times bestseller, and it's got your name on it. We want to give it to you. See, we're trying to help you out. I hope that we give 200 of these books away. I hope that we give out more books than we have. I hope we got to reorder every single week to stock our shelves, because we are seeing people changed and transformed by the story of Jesus Christ, the same way that my life was transformed by his story, the same way that your life was transformed by his story. Amen.